speaking today with Armando Wally, candidate for state representative in House District 140. Armando, let's start by tell me why it is, what makes you run for this office? Why are you running?
Well, for the most part, I'm running because there's a great need for effective representation in my area. I'm a lifelong resident of the community. I was born and raised in the North Houston /Aldine area. I grew up with a single mother. Pretty much she had me when she was 16, so I value education. I think that's a big part of this district, and part of that's probably my number one issue out there when I'm talking to community folks. That when they ask me, why am I running, I say one is that we have a huge dropout rate that unfortunately my opponent is not being as proactive as I would like for him to be in this area. I mean, particularly at Sam Houston High School, I mean, there's a lot of good kids out there in these schools, but we got to be able to give them the right resources to be able to finish school. I mean, I'm realistic. I mean, not all of our kids are going to go to college, but we need to at least give them the opportunity for them to go to college or a trade school. We're a blue-collar area. We're not a wealthy area. So a lot of these good-paying jobs can be taken up by a lot of our kids in our schools. There's three high schools in my area, which is Sam Houston, MacArthur, and Aldine, and they have high dropout rates. The state has a different formula as far as how they account for dropout rates, but you can see it when, you have kids skipping school and you see them, walking down the street. So education is my number one issue. Healthcare is another big issue for me, being that I grew up sometimes on Medicaid, sometimes not on Medicaid. Fortunate enough now to have health coverage, but there's tons of families in my district that don't have health coverage or can't afford it because they're priced out. So CHIP is a big help to our kids in my district. And in addition to that, I don't understand, in 03 we had tons of kids that were on the program that were cut off. And, the leadership in Austin, and my opponent, enabled by voting for him for speaker, enabled him to do that stuff to our kids. And I don't understand how you can, be offered a committee chairmanship and a few resources, a few monies for a park in exchange for them cutting your kids off a CHIP. I mean, I don't see the rationale in that. So that's that's a big issue. I mean, the leadership in Austin right now is one that I certainly disagree with. When it comes to taking care of our kids, health coverage, when it comes to taking care of our educational needs, those two issues are huge in my district. Several other issues are public safety. We got a huge crime problem in our area. We will never be a wealthy area. We will never be a River Oaks, but we still deserve to have safe and clean neighborhoods. And that's another issue that I'd like to work on, being that I have relationships with Congressman Green and local elected officials at the city. And being that we also have a sheriff, a candidate for sheriff, I have a personal relationship with him. And a lot of these issues you can deal with by working with different levels of government. And that's the experience I have with the congressman's office, is being able to work with all levels.
Okay. Now, you referenced your opponent. This is State Representative Kevin Bailey, who is a Democrat. You're running against him in the primary. Tell me more about that.
Yes, sir. One of the things that really concerned me about my opponent was the fact that in the 6 years that I've worked for Congressman Green, I hardly saw him visible. I mean, he was not visible in the community. I mean, yes, he would have staffers, or one staffer at, certain civic clubs and different meetings, which is fine. You have to have staff. You can't function an office without having good staff. At the end of the day, that person who was elected is held accountable. And I would never see him in the community. That's one thing that really kind of bothered me, because in the congressman's office, I worked the East End and North Side areas, working outreach programs for the congressman. And I mean, I would see Representative Farrar, Representative Hernandez, Representative Noriega, even before Representative Hernandez, I would see Representative Moreno, and other electeds in their respective communities, themselves, along with their staffs. But they were actively involved in their communities. And I never saw him. I mean, I could probably, there was a few times that I saw him. One, when I first was on staff to the congressman way out in the Greens Point area, I saw him once at an event there, and maybe at a civic club. But you're talking about two or three times out of the 6 years that I worked for the congressman. I mean, and I live in the community, so I know what goes on and what's happening. That really bothered me. Another issue is the fact that, and it was reported in another publication too, where the congressman had to call him out of bed to go vote in Austin. And that to me shows the commitment that this person has for his district. And that's not the commitment that we need in my area. I mean, be it that state representatives are I guess considered a part-time, your part-time legislatures, you only get paid $600 a month, but to me, I consider that a full-time job. I mean, you're held accountable to your constituents. And maybe I have a different work ethic. Maybe I was brought up differently, being that my grandfather was a steel worker and a welder and worked, you know, paycheck to paycheck and worked very hard. And he instilled those values in me. And learning how Congressman Green works, how hard he works, and being that he comes down to from Washington every weekend to be in his district, you know, there were times when they would see Gene more than they would see their other elected officials. And I don't comprehend that rationale. I think you need, you know, when you're an elected official, you have a big, I mean, you have a huge responsibility to your constituents.
Now, obviously, another issue is Representative Bailey has been a member of Speaker Craddock's leadership team. I presume, but I'm going to ask, if you were elected, would you support Tom Craddock for Speaker?
And for the record, absolutely not.
So, why is that? Why should that matter to the people in the district?
The reason it should matter is because I touched upon it earlier. When you have honestly, I don't have a problem working across the aisle. I learned from the congressman that, you know, you do what's best for Texas. You do what's best for your district, and if you need to work across the aisle, that's fine. But you don't ever compromise the core values of your district for a committee chairmanship. The way, and it's more so the process of how the House is being run. It's almost like, you know, the Tom DeLay, you know, you have a mini Tom DeLay here in Tom Craddock, where, I mean, you have an authoritative way of leading the House. And in Austin right now, it just seems that the leadership there has lost touch to the realities of what goes on in the daily lives of average Texans. So I have a big problem with somebody who enables that type of leadership to exist. I mean, there's many issues such as public education and public health care or health insurance issues that that I feel in my district, being it's not wealthy, in my district where we have a lot of problems, that you enable that type of person to stay in leadership.
Okay.
I don't comprehend the two. I don't see the.
Now, you said you worked for Congressman Gene Green. Tell me a little bit more about what you did for him.
Sure.
And how you see that making you a better representative.
One of the things that I was very grateful about the congressman was he always gave me, well, first off, I ran all his special projects, all his town hall meetings locally, organized all his special events, outreach programs such as paying for college workshops. We were actively involved in schools, so I really enjoyed that. We did immunization days where we selected four or five schools, and on one day we would offer free shots for children. That was a great program. We also did a congressional art competition where we had a Congressional District 29 art competition, and one kid who won our competition got to go to D.C. At no cost to them or their parents. We also did a citizenship day where we assisted legal permanent residents to become, help them complete their paperwork to become citizens. That was probably one of the best programs that we've done in the Congressman's office. We also did a child safety seat program where we organized, you know, nonprofits and some of the local hospitals, Texas Children's Hospital, to offer safety seat training for parents. So, I mean, these are the programs that I worked on, you know, directly for the congressman. And that experience, you know, in his office, you know, led me to where we are now, where I don't see that type of activity coming from the incumbent. I want to bring a lot of those qualities and do that for, you know, House District 140. A lot of outreach, a lot of grassroots type of programs that I would like to be involved in. I also did a lot of Harris County Flood Control District issues. When Tropical Storm Allison hit, I was the congressman point person locally to be the intermediary. I was the intermediary between helping our folks deal with the bureaucracy of what FEMA is and what the Harris County Flood Control District was at the time when they were buying out homes. So getting the proper information to our folks, being that we have a large immigrant population too, I mean, it was very important that we be able to communicate with them.
Okay.
So, I mean, also dealt with small business administration issues. I also helped Department of Defense issues. One, which is probably one of the best parts of the job, was being able to get service medals for, you know, several World War II veterans that hadn't gotten their service medals. That's the type of work that we did. I did a lot of constituent casework, worked on a lot of local issues. Here, working with city council, trying to deal with a lot of, you know, street repairs. Folks will call us for anything in Congressman's office. So you get to learn a lot about different issues, but particularly, you know, seeing a World War II veteran, you know, have a tear in his eye because you were able to, you know, I had little grain. I mean, I was just a staffer. It was through the Congressman's office that we were able to get medals for some folks in our district. And that was probably one of the best experiences I've ever had is having a little small, I guess, influence in helping make that happen. But obviously, it was via the congressman's office.
Okay. You had mentioned earlier about education and dropout rates of the high schools here. What do you see the legislature being able to do to affect that, and what would you specifically like to do?
Well, specifically, obviously, the state, every session almost feels like, you know, the state is contributing less and less to the state education system or the public education system. One of the things I like to do is look at the budget. I mean, we have $150 billion budget, I believe, and you have some, I guess, appropriation items in there that really don't. Could be used in some other areas, such as public education. I was talking to several of my, one of the superintendents there in Aldine Independent School District, and the state recently gave them, a whole bunch of unfunded mandates. Where, for instance, one was all schools had to be equipped with the AEDs, the electric heart defibrillators. They mandated that, but it didn't come with any funding. So where are these schools going to get this money to buy the? I mean, these are items that, you know, if you talk about particularly HISD or Aldine ISD, HISD being the largest school in this district, in the state, that adds up to several million dollars for each school. So we have to find a way to be able to get, pull resources from other places. And obviously, we're a cash-strapped state, but there's some items in there that we can cut that can go to to public education. And one of the things that I'd like to do is partner with our business community and our faith-based communities, our nonprofits, to do mentor programs. I was very involved at the University of Houston providing mentors. At that time, I was a staffer to the Center for Mexican American Studies, and I was a mentor to 10 at-risk youth. Being able to shape somebody's life at that point, you know, we got them as ninth graders, and when they finished high school, we took a study of their GPAs because it was an extensive program that we had, after-school programs. We offered them a scholarship if they finished the program. Their GPAs were almost a whole one grade point higher than their average student. And we took kids that were average. These were not the smartest kids or perceived to be the smartest kids. We took the lowest performing kid to the valedictorian and all in between. And we can apply that. It just takes a lot of work in other areas, and we're beginning to do that at Sam Houston. I'm a mentor there now. We're working with the Houston Community College Northline campus. There's a staff member there that's been in charge of the program, but that was an idea that came out of a lot of the talks about closing Sam Houston. Well, what do? Because you can complain, you can moan, but if the community doesn't rally around the school, then they're going to still threaten to close it. So we started the mentor program. So that's the type of stuff that I'd like to do that's hands-on, that's actually tangible, that you can actually, you know, you can change some kids one at a time. Obviously, it's not going to happen overnight, but that's the type of stuff I like to get involved in. And as a state legislature, you almost have the in your community the what do you call the bully pulpit. I mean, you're a leader. I mean, obviously, you're elected to pass law, but you're also a leader in other areas where you can influence other initiatives. I mean, you're not just going to sit in Austin all the time and vote on legislation. You got to be actively involved in your community.
So at the end of the day, on March 4th, why should someone vote for you in the primary and not Representative Bailey?
At the end of the day, I believe through my life experiences. I have intimate knowledge of what goes on a day-to-day basis with my constituents. I'm their neighbor. I'm one of them. I was born and raised in this community. At the end of the day, I would hope that, and I'm confident that the voters will see me as a new breed of leader. It's time for some change in the district. I feel that I'm the right person for the job. Representative Bailey has spent 16 years in the state legislature, and I think he's reached his peak, and you know, we need to take the district to another level. You know, I thank him for his service, because elected service is not an easy job, but I think it's really time for him to move on, and I feel I'm the right person to lead our district in a new direction. And that's what I intend to do.
Okay. Armando Wally, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you.